Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome to our small group Bible study series called Building a Covenant Community. This is study number 8. It's taken again from Romans chapter 12, and it's Serve the Lord. As with any of your Bible study group meetings, it's not just about passing on facts and information. That's a lecture. And sometimes that there might be elements of that involved when people are learning on that level. But generally, what you're trying to do is actually what the whole study is about. It's about building community. It's about building friendships. It's about recognizing that those times when the group starts to come in and some people come in a bit late, it allows opportunity for perhaps conversations with people that can take place without maybe the uncomfortableness of others being there. So this time of fellowship over tea, coffee, cold drink, whatever it is, and food is actually quite valuable. It's an important part of what you're doing. And it might look like, you know, we're wasting time, we've got to get down to business. This is business. I remember hearing John Maxwell tell the story of when he took over Wesleyan Skyline Methodist Church in California, that he hired an assistant pastor straight out of seminary. And first day on the job, the assistant pastor walked in, new suit, tie, done up nicely, and briefcase in hand, walked straight past John, walked straight past a group of other staff and went straight to his office to get into work. And a little bit later, John Maxwell came up to him and said, so what are you doing? He said, I'm getting to work. I'm getting into it. And he said, oh, yeah. Did you notice the people talking in the foyer as you came in? Yes, but I didn't want to waste time. I wanted to get to work. And John Maxwell politely but firmly gave him a leadership lesson. And that leadership lesson was, you walked past your work. You walked past those people who are your work. They are your job. Recognizing that when you're in Christian leadership, your job is people. And understanding that will help you to recognize that what you're doing here as a small group leader is your job. It's your job to have a drink with someone, have a chat with them, and ask them, you know, how's things been going? What's happening? How's the kids? What's happening with your job? You know, and bring up some of the things to demonstrate that you are listening. It's when people know they've been heard that they begin to know that they are cared for. So this is a valuable time coming in. And then, as I've said before, I suggest you move from wherever that phase of the night takes place into another space, if you can. I mean, I understand that some you might be meeting in an apartment where it might be small and space confined. But if you can, move out from the dining area, the kitchen area, whatever, into an area that's more akin to a lounge room where you can sit down more or less in a circle. And the circle becomes really important because one of the dynamics that we do in a group, and I would suggest this, that you actually move into that space and then the next gear happens. It's all important, but here's another gear. You change the mood of the night by saying, hey, before we get into this study, let's do two things and make it very, very predictable. In other words, everybody knows what you're about to say. They know that you're going to say the two things that we should do right now. Number one, tell us something you're thankful for, something perhaps that's happened in the last week that you're thankful for, and just give us one prayer request. And at the end of the night, we're going to take these prayer requests, we're going to go around the room, we're going to pray for these. So starting with the person on my left, Jill, tell us what's something in the last week or so that causes you to be thankful to the Lord, and then give us a prayer request. And then away you go, and Jill will share. And you as group leader, just take a note. Write down Jill, thank point, whatever it is, and then put PP, prayer point, and just a one sentence statement, write it down, and then go around the room so that when you come as group leader to the end of the night to where you're orchestrating the study, you may get through most of the study, you may not, but you allow that time at the end where you can say, well, I think we've done as much as we can do tonight. So let's remind ourselves before we finish with prayer that Jill asked for prayer for her son who's in drug rehab, and so on. You go around that room and do that. And again, it demonstrates, hey, you as a group leader were listening to these particular requests. And then as others in the group pray for them, it shows that they care as well. So this is a part of the very thing we're talking about, building community in a small group. So this is Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, and it's the third part of this verse. We've looked at the first two. This is serve the Lord. All right. The church is a volunteer movement. Without volunteers who serve the Lord by serving people, the church simply could not function. This attitude of service for the believer stands in contrast to the what's in it for me attitude of the world. We are to serve the Lord with an attitude of a servant. In Romans 16, verse 18, as we'll look at in question one in a moment, the apostle subtly warns believers not to be naive about those people who claim to be servants of the Lord, who even boast about how much they serve the Lord, yet they don't actually serve the Lord. These people are often manipulative of others and are always asking for money. So let's have a look, noting question one, noting Romans 16, 18, what does Paul say causes some believers to not serve the Lord? Romans 16, 18 says this, for such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Well, noting that verse, what does Paul say causes some believers to not serve the Lord? These people were swayed by their appetites. By their appetites. They weren't actually serving God. They were persuaded by their appetites. They had found that they were able to manipulate gullible, naive believers and have them perhaps donate to their ministry or provide them with meals or food or whatever it is. So their appetites had driven them to not serve. And that's a huge thing, to recognize that we don't serve for what we can get. We serve to give, and it becomes an act of worship. Perhaps in the earliest stages of following Christ, it may be possible to grow in Christ without serving. But it is a spiritual principle that growth in Christ comes from serving Christ as we serve others. Question two. According to 1 Timothy 3:13, what growth effect does serving the Lord in the church have on a believer's faith? 1 Timothy 3:13 says, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So what happens when you serve the Lord? What growth effect happens? Well, it actually says you grow in confidence. Your faith grows in confidence in the Lord by serving those who serve well as deacons. They will grow in faith. It's when you begin to serve others that you become increasingly aware that the need is great, and you become increasingly aware that you can't meet all the needs that you face, and that should cause you to become more desperate in prayer. And as you become more desperate in prayer and you see more of those prayers answered, it stirs your faith. It helps your faith to be bolstered. Question three, Romans 14 verse 18 refers to two outstanding effects of serving the Lord diligently. Well, in what way, it says, are these effects a great blessing? Romans 14 verse 18, whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God, well, there's your first benefit, and approved by men, there's your second benefit. Now, who doesn't want to be accepted by God? Who doesn't want to be approved by men? These are two outstanding effects that come from serving, faithfully serving God. When people see that you're serving God because you care for others, it's very, very difficult for them to accuse you of either not caring or being a charlatan or hypocrite or anything resembling that. Question four, based on 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, how are we to serve the Lord? Well, 1 Peter 4:11 says this, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So there's our key verse, our key part of the verse is that one there. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So based on that verse, how we're to serve the Lord, we are to serve the Lord with the strength that God supplies. So in other words, whatever strength you've got, give it back to God in service. Do your best, in other words. Now, here's a discussion question. Question five, what do you find is the most challenging thing about serving in the church? Now, I don't normally frame questions like that, and I'll tell you why. People are often reluctant to share what their own personal struggles. But if that's why I generally frame those sorts of questions in the third person, so that it becomes, why do you think most people or most other people find it challenging to serve the Lord in the church? But let's put it out there. Let's see what the answers will be. Now, I offer you that little background to why I frame questions generally in the third person, that if you find the group is reluctant to share, then frame it in the third person. Question six, how does Luke 17 verse 8 address the attitude of the servant? It says, will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you will eat and drink? And verse 9 just added in, does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? And that's a great teaching principle given by Christ about our attitude. Our attitude of being a servant is just to serve, to gladly serve, to recognize that when we serve others, we are actually serving Christ. What is the relationship between leading and serving according to Christ? And we find this in Luke 22:26. And Christ had obviously a lot to say about both of these issues, that there was a correlation between the way we view our place before Christ and how we treated others. If we recognized that Christ became the servant of all, he became humble, and out of that posture, he served, and he wants his followers to have the same attitude. Luke 22, verse 26 says, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. And that would have been shocking, I dare say, to that audience, because in a culture where people were accustomed to leaders lording it over people, Christ absolutely turns that on its head. So here's a reflection question again, and it's meant to have a practical application. And let's ask the question. Question eight, how could you serve this Bible study group? Well, just let's see where it goes. Maybe someone could say, you know what, I bake a mean pie or a mean cake, or I actually really, whatever it is. Well, invite them to serve in that way. It could be that you say, you know what, I'm actually finding this a bit of a challenge to do everything here. You know, as a group, we love to, you know, start with a bit of food and drink. Perhaps someone could chip in and help coordinate the food. You know, as a group, we have to serve in the church. In our particular church at Lagana, we sort of structure our service teams around our small groups, and it's incumbent upon our small groups to help out in the kitchen. every Sunday. We roster a small group on to just to wash dishes and clean up and serve people however they need to be served. Well, let's put it out there and see what the answer is and then invite people to apply that. As you go around the group with those two things that, you know, Jill was thankful for, blah, 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 and Jill would like prayer for her, you know, son who's in rehab. And you go around the group, invite people, pick one of these prayer requests as we go around. We'll start on my right and we'll go around, back around, and we'll finish up with Jill on my left. So let's pray. And that's a great way to close the meeting and a great way to for people to feel that they care. Well, I trust you have a great Bible study. We'll be back next Sunday.